So here we are on the fourth Sunday of Easter, so we're almost halfway through our beautiful and life-filled Easter season. And as I mentioned at the start of Mass, fourth Sunday of Easter is customarily called Good Shepherd Sunday, reason being that every year in our three-year rotating cycle, ABC, we hear from the same chapter of John, John chapter 10, which is the portion of the Gospel where Jesus in a very strong way identifies himself as the Good Shepherd, as in the shepherd of the people of Israel from the Psalms, from the prophets in the Old Testament days. He speaks of himself in terms of a shepherd. And so each year, ABC, we get a little different piece of the dialogue. This year is the shortest and the last piece of it, but the theme's always the same, so Good Shepherd Sunday. What does it mean to be shepherded? This is the thing. What does it mean to appreciate that as a very consoling image for all of us who at different times in life have to struggle our way through things, either as persons or as households or as communities or as a world for that matter? So to appreciate it and maybe understand how God guides us, maybe I'll land just for a second first on a piece of a second reading from Revelation and then end a little bit with the Gospel. Won't take too long, I promise. Revelation is beautiful too. And again, in year C, which we're in, we hear it every single Sunday of Easter in reading number two, so we're making our way through little pieces of it. So to get at appreciating Good Shepherd, right, what about this image first, and how do we understand this passage? So we have John, it says, with this great vision of this whole multitude from every race and nation and people and tongue. So this vast, vast throng of people, he sees them around this throne of God. It says they're wearing white, and they've got palm branches in their hands. So he's trying to understand what this vision is as he's seeing it from God. And as he's trying to comprehend it, one of the elders, those in the vision, speaks to him and he explains, these are the ones, this great multitude with wearing white and with palms in their hands, they have survived the time of great distress. These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they stand before his throne and they worship him day and night. How does one understand this? What's going on in this very mysterious little image? So the thing about wearing white and about palm branches, okay, this is a sign of victory over suffering. Palms are the gift of the martyrs. Palms are what you give a conqueror, a king, a general, someone who's won a battle, someone who is mighty. So it seems to be the case, and we know this historically, that in the first century or so, when this vision was given to John, it was written down, the early fledgling, emerging Christian community had run into serious difficulty and opposition at different points in the Greek and Roman territories. So in some places they were welcomed, but as time would pass, the Roman Empire especially, and certain emperors in particular, tried to stamp them out, suppress them, squelch the movement. And even though the Christians grew among the slaves, the working classes, the poor, the cities, like this kind of underground, amazing mass movement, the empire tried to stop them. And many of them died. They died by the thousands, and some of them cruel, awful, very public deaths, and we have records of all of this. So you might appreciate that a community in that position that sees itself as this small little force struggling against this mighty Roman machine is going to ask itself, how are we going to win this battle? How are we going to survive this? What's our future? What's it going to be like for our kids and grandkids and for believers that come after us? Can we win what seems to be this unwinnable, epic battle against all these cultural, military, political forces who are just trying to stop us as a community and as a movement? This is the time of great distress that John refers to. They were under attack from every different direction. What he's trying to say to them is trying to say, listen, everybody, you who are struggling right now, you who are fearful right now, you who are under attack in different ways, spiritually or even literally, biologically, you're going to win. This is a vision of a whole group of people who have won the battle. And there they stand around God's throne. So where are your dead loved ones who got martyred? They're with the Lord, holding palms in their hands. Don't be afraid. He's rescued them. What's the future of the Christian community? What's the future of the church? It's one that's victorious. Because Christ is the slain lamb who death could not stop. And anybody who's baptized and shares in his power will be victorious too. So do not be afraid, John says. The vision is one to console you, to strengthen you, to help you, and to say, you're going to win the fight. It's ugly right now. It looks impossible right now, but the vision is, I'm going to win, God says, and you're going to win with me. So translate this, frankly, to our own day and age, I suppose. I don't know about you, but there are different times in life we might feel like we're passing through a time of great distress. Maybe that's true for you. I think a lot of us probably lived through a couple last decades of relative what's called calm in the world. And then all of a sudden, last few years, all this stuff happens, right? There's all this upheaval. So the pandemic, which continues to be its own obvious difficulty in ways, shapes, and forms, that was its own nightmare. Continues to be, I guess. Economics, inflation, political problems, you know, stock market up and down, riots in our streets, race difficulties in our nation, the mess in the Ukraine, the awful violence there, the whole situation in Eastern Europe. And now, most recently, in our own news, an upcoming Supreme Court decision, which has upended once again our debate on this very important topic of abortion and all the fighting that goes along with it. And it just seems to be unglued, that we were used to such calm, and now it's all in this kind of state of disarray. So if perhaps it's the case, I don't know if it is or not for you, but it probably is for me at times, we look out and say, where is this all going? What does this all mean? What's the country going to be like for my kids or my grandkids? What's happened to the church? What's happened to our believers? Are we going to win this fight? Will our beliefs be vindicated? Will the causes that we promote and protect ever win their day in our land? We can say to ourselves, this feels like a time of great distress. The fact is, every single era faces its own time of great distress. It's not new in the world's history, as you know. In fact, the exception are calm times. Usually there's always something going wrong. You know, Middle Ages, plagues in the Black Death era, persecutions and revolts in the Enlightenment, you name it, there's just always a problem. We know this as Christians, so we hang on to words like this in the Bible because they're consoling not just for first century Christians under attack, they're consoling for every single generation of believers under their own kind of attacks. We all face them different ways. So even to today, we find ourselves with questions in our hearts and looking for hope. John says to all of us, don't worry. Yes, it's hard, and there are questions, but all of you here, my little flock, my humble flock, as the opening prayer calls us, you will stand around the throne of the Lamb with palms in your hands saying, I won the victory. So fight through it, and don't give up hope because God will win the struggle. So the second reading is about hope and about triumph, and it's supposed to give consolation to all of us who say, now what? John says, keep fighting. And do not give up hope in God's power to save. What an awesome vision, the whole multitude of the nations around the Lamb, right? He says, that's your destiny. Today, you fellow believers, you join these ranks if you are faithful to the end. So don't fear death, don't fear persecution, don't fear the arguments, don't fear whatever happens to be, just rest in the vision of God's power. It will sustain you and it will carry you, no matter what. It's an awesome reading. It was true in the first century, it's true now. True, 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 all the way through our history. The question is, and this is the second piece, how does one get through it exactly? What are the survival tips or the time of distress, whatever they happen to be, right? Personal, global, whatever. And here the gospel and Good Shepherd Sunday, I think, comes back into focus. I think we appreciate the voice and the presence of a consoling, protecting shepherd all the more if we at least first take stock of the threats that are around us. I'm not going to want or need a good shepherd if I think everything's fine. But the fact is, things aren't fine. Look around you, okay? But that's okay. Revelation says you're going to win. The gospel says you have a shepherd. You have a shepherd. How does he put it, John, in the Lord in his text? My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them life eternal, and they will not perish. So here are the sheep, here we are, we are the sheep. What do? We hear his voice, and we follow it. This is how one survives a time of great distress, no matter when it is, or where it is, or what shape it takes. We hear his voice, and we follow it. Think of all the competing voices today, right? Voices in social media, voices in the news, voices of the workplace, voices of our neighbors. There's just this big emotional argument right now about everything. That's just this din of shouting voices. And through it all, what does a Christian do? The Christian strains to listen to the voice of the one who loves us and who knows us. He says, I know you. I know you better than anybody else on the planet, better than anybody out in the world knows you, any corporation, any government, any entity, any technology firm. I know you better than all those things. I love you, and I call to you continually. So pick up my voice in the midst of the chaos around you. How does one do that? One has to pray. So this era, just like every era, is always an era of personal prayer. So everybody here, no exceptions, has to find time each day in the quiet of one's heart to hear the voice of the shepherd, to hear him calling, to hear his consolation, to hear his challenge, to hear him moving us to action about things that are important for us and for our world. We hear him and we follow him. Christians are not just hearers, we are doers. We are the ones who build soup kitchens and who clothe the naked and who take care of the homeless and who look for laws to protect the human person and who work on the culture and who are the builders of civilization after God's own pattern. We do things because we are supposed to. We hear his voice and we follow his voice. That's what gets us through. Personal prayer, daily prayer, the Mass, the teachings of the Church, and also, of course, at the core of it, his holy word, the Scriptures. Think of all that's come and gone in the world for 2,000 years, but the text in my hand, the Scriptures, have held firm. His word is consistent, it is changeless, it is life-giving, it is beautiful, it is foundational, we rest upon it. And when everything else is chaotic, we say, I know his voice, I know his word, I follow his word, and I walk forward in confidence, no matter what the threats are in my life. That's how one does it. My sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. We follow it. We know his word. We love his word. So that is really, really easy and really hard all at the same time, right? I mean, it's a simple recipe, but it's one we must practice over and over and over again. So no matter the era, right? No matter the era, there's always times of distress. It's not new to right now. There's always been distress. And there's always been the shepherd, guiding us, protecting us, helping us, offering us the palm of victory. Lead all of us, know my word, hear my word, obey my word, live in my word, rest on my word. That will lead you through this life and into the eternal life in the world to come.